remember that movie Journey to the Center of the Earth? What if they had gone through the center of the Earth and found the submerged chaos? It's like we've discovered a hollow chamber here. What is it? Set a drill in there. It's the submerged chaos. Oh, that would be exciting. Did that happen? No, it didn't happen. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender. I got a bit of information about the submerged chaos that I didn't give you before. Want to make sure I cover my base here. It's mentioned in Genesis 1, 2 and Genesis 7, verse 11 and 8, verse 2. This is a mysterious passage to me. After the disruption, darkness was on the face of the submerged chaos. The face of the submerged chaos. Now, we know the disruption came by water. So the submerged chaos always has to do with water. And the submerged chaos was what the earth became. So the entire earth was like a submerged chaos. But then, you know, the land came upon the earth. But then we read in Genesis 7 that the springs of the submerged chaos were broken up. That happened at the flood. For a reference there, Genesis 7:11 and Genesis 8:2. So the submerged chaos was broken up. So there was much water underneath, and it was broken up. And perhaps that's why there's a well now to the submerged chaos. It's not as full as it was, because much of that water came up and was part of the flood of Noah. As you know, the flood of Noah was not only rain, but it was a canopy of water above the earth that came down, and there was the submerged chaos which broke up. All right? And again, this is a holding place for spiritual beings, as well as the gloomy caverns of Tartarus mentioned by Peter in 2 Peter. So there are caverns. Do I believe it? I do. Holding places, large areas. All very fascinating. Tells you that we see but a small portion of the world. We're on the tiny part of the earth, the crust of the earth, and we walk around like, when above us there are myriad spiritual beings, 24 elders, the animals, and beneath us there are locusts being prepared, there is a submerged chaos, and there are gloomy caverns of Tartarus. And we're like, I don't see anything. Well, that's because you don't have spiritual vision. But we're being told here, we're being given a glimpse behind the scenes, under the surface, and above the stage, depending on what part of Scripture you're looking at. So back to the locusts, which are ever so real. Let's look at the locusts of Exodus 10. There were no locusts like these before. And so I'm going to go to Exodus 10 now and verse 14. The locusts invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. Ooh, Martin, Scripture contradicts itself. It says there will never be a plague of locusts again. Doesn't say that. Never before has there been such a plague of locusts. These locusts of the unveiling are different than the locusts of Exodus, as terrible as they were. Let's read a little more detail in Exodus 10 about those locusts. So Moses stretched out his staff across the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. See the wind. They didn't come from any submerged chaos here. They're coming from the result of an east wind. So they were somewhere on the earth. The east wind came on the land all day and all night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Excuse me. Thank you very much. Again, a trumpet blast from yours truly. The locusts, I will never, never choke back a sneeze during this entire series. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how stupid it may sound or look. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled in all the territory of Egypt. They were very numerous. They covered the surface of the whole land so that the land was darkened. The land, get this, was darkened. You could not see the surface of the land because of these locusts. Keep that in mind. Number. And they ate every plant of the land. These locusts, the unveiling, are not allowed to eat the plants. They don't damage the grass. They're told not to. And they're smart because they don't touch those individuals who have the seal of God on their forehead. How do they know who has the seal of God? They're freaking bugs. Exactly. That's exactly my point. How do they know? because they're intelligent. And we're going to talk about their physical description shortly. They ate all the land, every plant of the land, and all the fruit of the trees. They weren't discerning. They were just like, they just ate everything. They weren't discerning. They bothered everybody because they were stupid locusts. You know, you have a stupid phone and a smartphone, right? You have a smartphone, it does lots of things that your dumb phone can't do. Likewise, these locusts of Exodus were dumb locusts compared to the locusts of the unveiling, which are intelligent. They ate every plant of the land, stupid idiots, and all the fruit of the trees, undiscerning clods that the hail had left. Oh, that was nice. The hail didn't destroy everything, so the people rejoiced. Yay, the hail didn't destroy everything. Well, here come the locusts. Thus, nothing green was left on tree or plant of the field through all the land of Egypt. Now, back to the unveiling. These locusts from the abyss do not injure the grass or any tree or any green thing. So that is where they are different from the locusts of Exodus. And it is not clear at first why John even calls them locusts, because they are not locusts in appearance. If you've ever seen locusts like this, I believe you would have written me by now to tell me. They are not locusts as we know them by appearance or habits. They don't have the habits of regular locusts. Regular locusts will eat the green plants, the grass, the crops. They destroy crops. They don't torment human beings. That's why these locusts of the unveiling are different in habit and in appearance. Speaking of appearance, listen to this. We started with this yesterday. We continue on here today. Talked about the wreaths like gold, and their faces are, as it were, this is scarier than hell, as it were, human faces. You remember the animals? There was one of the animals that had a human face. The other was a bull, an eagle, and something else. A turtle? No, whatever it was. And they had hair as the hair of women. They do have something that looks like hair. And it looks like the hair of women. It's as the hair of women. But it's not the hair of women. But it's like it. And they have human faces, as it were human faces. Oh, I shudder to think of one of these things looking at you with this hair and the face. And their teeth are as if they were lion's teeth. Their teeth are sharp, like Bruce the shark in Jaws. Comes out of the water, and the first thing you see are this thing's teeth. And I picture these locusts, and so does John, having teeth like this. And he describes it as the teeth of a lion. And they had cuirasses. A cuirass is a defense, a piece of armor. It's not a breastplate, because a breastplate only covers the front of you. A cuirass goes all the way around. Covers the back, too, which would be very helpful for George Custer and his army. The Battle of Little Bighorn there, to have cuirasses. I wouldn't want something covering my back for those arrows coming. So these locusts are surrounded with some kind of armor, as it were, cuirasses of iron. Verse 9 now of the Unveiling 9. And the sound of their wings is as the sound of many chariot horses racing into battle. It's as the sound. It's not chariots racing into battle. It's just like it, though. It's not horses being prepared for war, but it's like horses being prepared for war. And it sounds like chariots, and the hair looks like the hair of women. And they have teeth that seem to be like lion's teeth. and they have faces that really are frighteningly like human faces, and there's no other term I could use to describe it, says John, except to say that they're like human faces. And they're given power, and they're given instructions, and they're smart enough to follow the instructions. And they don't do what regular locusts do. They don't eat the green grass, or the herbage, or the plants, the crops. But they torment human beings, and their sting is like a sting of a scorpion. And they know their mark. They know what they're after. They're after human flesh. And they know the difference between human flesh that is sealed by God and human flesh that is not, that is under the jurisdiction of the adversary. And the adversary has not sent these locusts. Satan has not sent Apollyon. God has dispatched Apollyon, who answers to the trumpet of the fifth messenger, who is one of the seven spirits of God standing by the throne, surrounding the lampkin and the throne of God. These are under the direct control of God. I keep needing to tell you that. And I keep needing to show you that their torment is 5 months. It's bad. Oh, it's bad. It's so bad that people want to die, but they can't. For some reason, people can't commit suicide in this day. I don't know why. I'd be killing myself. No, probably not. I amuse myself too much. But I would, you know, be thinking about it. But apparently, you're not able to find death at this time. They shall be tormented 5 months, and their torment is as the torment of a scorpion. And people long for death, but they can't find death. How frustrating. People must go through this. That's why you don't want to be here. That's why you want to grasp on to Paul's evangel. It's a modern-day ark to deliver you from the coming indignation. And they have tails like scorpions and stings, and their license is to injure humankind 5 months with their tails. Their license, they have tails. They have tails like a scorpion, but it's not a scorpion's tail, but it's kind of like it. And they have license. They've been given a certificate, as it were, to do this. They have permission, not only permission, but they have the orders. They're under orders. They're an army under the orders of a superior commander, who is Apollyon, who is under another superior commander, God. And they injure for 5 months, not four, not six, 5 months, that's it, with their tails, and their tails only. They have a king over them. Imagine that. They have a king, the messenger of the submerged chaos. His Hebrew name is Abaddon, and in Greek he has the name Apollyon. And as I told you, this name means destroyer. Tomorrow, the characteristic that marks locusts, that will mark these locusts, that will scare the living daylights out of you. And by this you will know of the stubbornness of humanity. Again, I say, only when you see the depth, the breadth, the height, the intensity of these trials do you realize the breadth, depth, intensity of the resistance, the stubbornness of humanity. And this world would go on and on and on in this terrible condition of apathy, of not caring, of trying to drive God from their consciousness, from the world, and God is going to mercifully put a stop to it. And it's only going to take 3.5 years. He's going to put a stop to it. He's going to put people out of their own misery. And he's going to use these locusts to do it. And if God determines that is necessary, who are we to tell him otherwise? We'll be right back.